Amen. So, Lord's mercies were not consumed. His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be a bucket of mercy waiting for you. That's good stuff. You guys have never sung that song before, have you? What's that group called? What was the Girls of Grace? Was GOG? Jake and Mike, after our services, were talking about prophecy the other day, GOG and Magog. Talking about the girls that need grace or something like Girls of Grace. What's that group? When did we form that one? Today? Y'all sound very good together. Compliment one another. Tremendous truth in that song. Is that one you did? Wrote? You just sung Lamentations? Is that what you were doing? Really? Yeah, I know it's Lamentations, but I didn't know. That's like the one, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised? Man, I'd never heard that one. I've read the scripture, but I've never heard that one before. Wow. Good stuff. You ready, Josh? You got your notebook? Got your Bible? Need a text verse. That's terrible, ain't it? You got a message, no text? What's our text verse? They didn't even write my text verse up there, amen? All right, let me find my text verse then. Huh? What'd she say? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. It's just a springboard. Again, we're dealing with finances. And I mean, there's finances all through the Bible. I've said before that this is one of those difficult studies because it's more of a topical study, and finances are mentioned in the Bible. Stewardship is one of the themes of the Bible. And so 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, Paul says this to Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And so what are we supposed to do with what we're given? Is to be just good stewards of it. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, he reiterates it again, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. So many people misquote that. I see that used so many times, and talking about people get on Facebook, social media, and everything else and say, well, if money's the root of all evil, then why is the church always asking for money? And the money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of it. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Look at how much that can mess you up. And I'll even say this. You can be in church and err from the faith. You say, how can you do that? You can rob God, Malachi said. You can be a steward of God's finances. I know this is probably a carnal illustration, but I remember this as a young man watching Rocky. I don't know which Rocky it was, but he comes back from overseas. What, he fought in Russia or something? And he come back and he had that palatial place, and he had put a steward, whatever it was, a financial advisor over his wealth, and come to find out he had nothing after it was over with. And then he had to go back to the streets of Philly and all that kind of stuff. You said that to say what, preacher? We're a steward of God's. Everything God has, that we have in your car, that's why people mock me or laugh at me when I say your car is a representation of your stewardship over God's, what he's given you. The floorboards, if they're vacuumed, the salt, the rust, the belts, the oil changes, the brakes, and all that kind of stuff. And how your house looks, how the church looks, and it's everything we have. You know, I can come into some churches and there's a mop bucket at the front door, and it's God's house. And so We have a responsibility to be good stewards over it, and that's what the topic of our study has been. I do want to do a little bit of review, and I messed up severely. So I need some help, Jacob. Oh, my goodness, I do this all the time. Somebody contacted me before service. There's a little thing beside my desk, and it has the outline. I have the outline, but I have a review outline. The little wood thing beside my, and so I would like to say we pick up where we left off, but we didn't leave off in a study from a particular text, but rather a topic. Now, it's been several weeks, I'm sure. Brother Thompson was here. Libby and I have been gone. I can't remember. I think we paused it one time for Alicia because her finances are in such good shape, but I wanted her to... No, I'm joking. I wanted her to be here because she's the only one that wrote down on a piece of paper that she wanted to do a financial study. So she's going to be retired by the age of 30 and have a money market account of $1 million. But we are not in a text of a study, but we're rather in a topic, and that topic has been, as I've said, the emphasis of this study, which is stewardship. That's a broad topic. We've covered many aspects of it. The title of it was Stewardship, A Biblical Guide to Finances. Take your time, Jacob. Take your time. I mean, people are realizing I'm stuttering and everything to try and get to my... there we go. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I'm going to put a lock on my door from the candy bandits that come in there and distract me. And so before we do go further into our text, into our next aspect, which is the principle of finances, I think it best to review. Let's see if we can review and get us back on course so we can pick up where we left off. Obviously, it's been a broad picture that we've been... Stewardship is a broad spectrum. We just want to look at the financial aspect of being a stewardship. We should be stewards over our what? What's the famous one that all preachers say all the time? I found another one today while I was studying. We're a steward over our... Alex, were you mentioning that not too long ago? It seems like you talked about it or something. No, I'm talking about the time. You gave a verse, didn't you, in Timothy the other day? What was it you were talking about? Redeeming the time. Wasn't that you or was it somebody else? Redeeming the time for the days are evil? Because honestly, before you know it, there's so many shiny objects to look at nowadays. And we are given 24 hours. If his mercies are new every morning, I wonder if they're new every morning because of how many we wasted the day before. So we get a new... Man, can you imagine at the judgment seat of Christ we're judged on every day? 24 hours a day. What did you do with those 24 hours? And you wasted them, and then the next morning I gave you a bucket of mercy and you wasted it again. I mean, the judgment seat of Christ does not look pleasant. And so we're a steward of our time. We're a steward of our talents, Mark. They come in order. Have you ever heard anybody say time, treasures, and talents? Thank you. It's time. We're a steward of it. What are you doing with your time? We're a steward of our talents. Those are things, if you want to call them, he gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, he gave 1 1, one hid his, yada, yada, one. Watch this now. The 5 doubled it to 10. The 2 doubled it to 4. Doesn't matter if you're a 5 talent or a 2 talent. Did you double it? Did you invest it? Did you do something with it? Or did you just sit on it and do nothing like the 1? And he says, I know you're a just servant and you're a just master and you reap where you don't sow and you sow where you don't reap. He says, I hid it so I could give it back to you. He said, at least you could have done is put it into usury. And that's what you ought to do. And we'll probably talk about that in the study that if, you know, we've talked about it before, you ought to have a savings because we are responsible for, in our money, what we save, what we spend, and what we share, right? We ought to be sharing things with other people. God doesn't give us finances just to keep for ourselves. So we ought to be a steward of our time. We ought to be a steward of our talent. We ought to be a steward of our Did I made you mad? Stand in line. It's been a rough week. All right? I've made you, we're a steward of our treasures, things that we've been given, and we ought to do something with them. I know this seems trivial. Miss Linda and Brother Jim usually pick up Miss Allison. Is that right? They're using a treasure. What's the treasure? I know it's a Ford, but it's a treasure. Right? They're using that treasure Ford to pick up Miss Allison for the glory of God. They were sick today. So obviously there was communication, and Matt come in with a foreign vehicle. God can still use foreign things to get glory out of. And didn't Brother Miller, Miss Patty, and all them come to get you today? Yes. And they were using their treasures. Other people will bring stuff to the church and use it for this, that, and the other thing. That's using your Are you okay, Mark? You gonna be all right tonight? I really made you mad over that, didn't I? Let's redeem you with another tea. Okay. What is? Oh, that's what it was doing. This parts service manager was all ruffled over where the origination of that vehicle came from. So I knew it was something. I could see it on your face. Okay. So we're stewards of our time. We're stewards of our, Noah? Talents. We're stewards of our, and we're stewards of our, here's another one we don't talk about much. It's another T. Thoughts are part of the what? Which is part of the,
temple.
The what?
Temple.
Whoa, Alicia's showing up. That scared me, Alicia. You showed up, man. We're a steward over our temple. And that temple includes our thoughts. I was looking at a verse of scripture several times this week about in relationship to vain imagination and taking every imagination captive. That is being a stewardship of what goes on in that pea brain that we have and controlling it and bringing it down into taking it and controlling it. And all the other stuff, what we eat, how we eat, what we do. This is a temple. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of us. And I'll tell you what, where I come from, there's a lot of overweight templars. And we're stewards of it. The one we're focused on more than anything, I guess, would fall between the talents and the treasures. And that is finances. So the first thing we started looking at was the purpose of finances. The problem of finances. That was the first thing we looked at, and we covered tons of that. I came across this week, and I was absolutely floored by it. I'll probably share it more in depth in another part of the study we're doing. But I'm constantly looking for little statistics. I know Alex does those things. It's hard for me to trust all of them based upon the last few years. Do we really believe? We were told that 14,000, one shot, two boosters, and 14 other thousand updates. I'm thankful I never did any of that mess. And we were told that would fix the problem, and it didn't. But so you have to disseminate, and you have to figure out what's what. The only truth we really have is the Bible. But I came across this figure the other day. Do you know how much the United States of America spends? I guess I could use that terminology. I should say waste. But if we're stewards of our spending and we don't spend right, then it is a waste that we'll be accountable for one day. What do you think the figure is per year, 2 years ago, 2023? That's the most recent one I came across. 2023, how many dollars do you think the American society spends on lottery tickets? Just showing up?
40,000.
I wish, buddy. What? 3 billion. Not even close. One? Huh? Not even close. One. I'm not even going to say, you didn't even show up. She just throws up 40 trillion. Oh, 3 trillion. Sorry, Josh, you going to try it again? 100,000 billion. Has Ryan been homeschooling you? 100. Joey's showing up. How many, Joey? Did your mom just Google it and then give you the answer? What? 10,000 billion. 10,000 million? Oh, just 10 million. 10,000 billion. So you're going to the Joshua School of Katie Menengoss homeschooling. Man, who was that guy, Tina, that was in Africa that was the president? Jacob Zuma. Look up Jacob Zuma in Numbers, and you'll get every YouTube you can think of. It is 100, and it's okay, Katie. His mercies are new every morning. I don't know if there will be a calculator sitting beside your bed tomorrow morning, but there will be a bucket of mercy tomorrow. 113 billion dollars. Take a guess who the two... Alex, are you Googling back there? Yes. Am I correct? Am I correct? If my memory serves me right... Boy, it's terrible to have an Alex in your church. Number one state.
California.
That's number two.
Florida.
92 billion, California.
Florida.
Michaela's showing up. How many? 93 billion dollars for Florida. And then they rank every state. Does anybody remember? Maybe only Miss Terry and I remember when they were saying they were lobbying for Georgia, but both of us lived in Carolina. And they were saying, no, we're going to do this, and it's going to go towards our school system. I didn't know if that was that the spiel up here too? It'll go through to our school system. Does anybody remember the time? I hope I'm not getting off track, but this is how bad these things are, because I'm going to share some verses of Scripture. Does anybody remember the time that when you had to still pay for gas? And you come inside and you had to wait in line for everybody to get their little scratch tickets? $113 billion. I heard a figure the other day, $50 million to send condom to the Gaza from the United States. And people are bothered because he's shutting down places, so we keep that money back. No, he's not doing it from a biblical approach, but he is doing it from a businessman's approach. And it might turn things around enough for us to understand we have a space of grace for us to be better stewards. Can you imagine what this world, when the judgment of the nations takes place for how they squandered God's resources, and they are going to stand in judgment for it, what do you think he's going to do with us that should have known better and didn't do it? So we looked at the problem of finances. We've looked at the purpose of finances. The purpose of finances was to accomplish a divine purpose. It was to achieve a desired plan. And it was to administer a direct provision. God wants to provide for people. I was, Joe and I, can I say this? Joe and I were talking the other day. He sends me his prayer letter. And he just wants me to go over it. He wants me to approve it. He is an extension of this church. That's how serious he takes what he's doing. Wherever he is, whatever he does. And I appreciate it for a 40-some-year-old man to put that kind of confidence in me. And he sends me his prayer letter. Sends me his college paperwork. And the grades that he gets on that. But he sent me his prayer letter, and he had mentioned just briefly, I mean, it wasn't but just a little snippet about him coming home, and he talked in length about that, but him coming home, and when he came home, his house had flooded, the nemesis of this church. Knee replacements and water failures. That's what we're if you're in this church, you're going to have a flood at your house, and eventually you're going to have your knee replaced, all right? That's what takes place here. And he just barely touched on it. And I said, Joe, I'm probably the last person to say this to you. And I've probably, it's almost hypocritical because you can research every prayer letter I ever sent out. I never mentioned money. Raised our support in 18 months, went overseas, used the sale of my house, never asked for any money, but God provided everything on time, all the time, always. And I said, but now if I had it to do over again or I had a pastor to guide me, they're God's people save, God's people spend, and God's people share. And I said, Joe, there's probably people out there that would like to say, wow, I want to be able to bless somebody. And this guy had a flood in his basement or kitchen, and I'd like to do that. I said, so would you rephrase that? And he rephrased it. I don't know. I think probably one of the best, and it's not just because he's my friend, John O'Malley will mention financial needs. And he just mentions it in passing, and then he highlights all the other stuff. And you'd be surprised how many people. I said that because the purpose of God's money or God's or finances is to administer a direct provision, to provide for somebody. You never know how much you can help somebody else. Now, you can't be God for them, but sometimes God will lay it on your heart to do something for somebody. So we've looked at the problem of finances. We've looked at the purpose of finances. And then we looked, I believe the last time we were together, we looked at the principles of finance, and we started breaking those ones down. The first one we looked at was the origin of them. The origin of them was in the place God created. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and I think I mentioned this. All of those things today have a monetary value to them. All of those trees and resources and all that kind of, I mean, there's everything out there is a resource for God. And again, I'm not saying he's biblical, but he says things. He's got to be getting some kind of biblical guidance, the new president, because he will sit there and say, we can be self-sufficient. He says that. America can be self-sufficient. And he talks about the oil resources and all the resources there. And he starts putting tariffs on things. I wish to goodness, and it will never happen in this dispensation, I wish we could have a leader that used biblical principles to show the rest of the world that it works. Now, there will be a time when that takes place, and it'll take place during the millennial reign of Christ when a theocracy is set up, not a republic, not a democracy, not a monarchy, not an oligarchy. He will set up a theocracy. He will be worshipped. We will rule and reign for 1,000 years. What you did here will determine on what you do there. You wasted stuff here, you won't get an opportunity to there. There's ranks to that system there. And we'll be able to see how that works. I wish somebody could do that. He's putting tariffs on things. He's stopping people from doing things. I'm not trying to make it political, but people are all bent out of shape by him saying something about, and I'm not a fan of his. I'm just using things that he says. People are bent out of shape because he mentions Canada being a state. And they think he's wanting to be Hitler and take over. And the reason he mentions Canada becoming a state, because we are subsidizing their existence. We're subsidizing that country to survive. And when he said we're going to stop that, the prime minister resigned because it was going to be egg on his face. So if we're going to subsidize you to survive, then you are going to fall under our leadership. And that's the same thing. When you start being somebody's steak daddy, you become their god. That's not how it's supposed to be. But you can spend the origin or the principles of finances or the origin of them. It was in the place that God created. Secondly, it was in the purpose that God constructed. God developed, if I can use the word tithe, in the scriptures. I don't know how many trees there were. But I'm going to tell you what, there was one portion of all the trees. I don't know if there's 10 trees. And he said, I know there was two. And we think there was massive. I don't know what there was. But God said, there's one in there you don't eat from. You touch it. We touch money. It goes through our hands. Adam was supposed to keep and address that tree. He said, but thou shalt not eat of the fruit of that tree. You're not supposed to take it. You eat the fruit of what God gives you, there's going to be some death. And I guarantee you, I said this 1,000 times, and I'm not trying to be condemning to anybody. You show me somebody that doesn't duly give. You can argue the terminology of it. You can sit there and say it's not in the New Testament. You can say whatever you want. God requires a tithe. It started before the law. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek before the law was ever even given to him. It is a demonstration of God's ownership of everything and you portioning back to him and you are steward over the rest of it. He owns all of it. And he told Adam, you don't eat from that tree. You touch it, you keep it, you dress it, you water it, you pick the fruit, you prune the tree, you do all the other stuff, but you don't eat from it. And you show me somebody that doesn't give to God proportionately and show him his leadership over it, and I'm going to show you somebody with terrible finances. I guarantee it. You'll never prove to me that you cannot give back to God what's his and you can be successful at it. It is biblically impossible. The principles of finance, we see the origin of them was in the place that God created, was in the purpose God constructed. Number three, it was in the plan that God clarified. He clarified a plan of how the origin of these finances is going to take place. It was a sovereign representation. We are a sovereign representation of God's ownership. This is God's. And I say this all the time. If it's God's, it ought to be taken care of. And I'm not chastising anybody when I say this. I say this to Brother Nicholas sometimes. I look outside and nobody's responsible for this. I don't know who it is. You buy a lawnmower and within a year it's got dents and scratches and ain't changed the oil and the blades ain't sharpened and everything else, and it's God's. Could you imagine, Brother Mike, if I keep, and I do this with Miss Jean's house. I am a caretaker of all of it. And it's maddening. I think I said to Brother Baldwin the other day, didn't I, Brother Baldwin? I said, I feel like I'm a property manager. While I'm here, I'm looking at cameras. My mind's going crazy, looking at everything at her house there. A stove break, a toilet leak. I mean, I'm not there. Thank goodness Joe's there and he's helped. But when he leaves, I told her we got to have another conversation. I get on the plane. Now I'm down there. And what cameras do you think I'm looking at while I'm down there? Property manager of this place. And I'm asking Mike, what's the towels in the foyer for? What's the ladder in the foyer for? What's going on in the parking lot? Why aren't the lights working? It's property manager. Why? Because it's God's. And then I'm looking out at the cameras at my house and trying to figure it out. And Jacob, would you go by my house and just do a walkthrough? And Joshua, would you just go by and do a walkthrough? And the cameras go off and Joshua's plowing the driveway for me without being, it's maddening. But watch this now. Watch this about this. It is a sovereign representation. If somebody went, and I don't mean to pound this, but I can't express it enough. If you were to say I was a Christian, and somebody were to come into your life with everything you have, is it taken care of like God would take care of it? Is it clean like God would clean it? Is it organized? I've heard so many people accuse me of being OCD. I'm far from OCD, but I am somebody that is intimidated. What's the word? I'm looking for a word that is like stewardship, but I'm not fearful, but I'm cautious. And the only way I can really describe it sometimes is the relationship I have with my mother-in-law and being the caretaker of everything she has. It's hers, and I tell her all the time. You know, when I was down there, Joe let me use his car. I don't have a car. That's her car. And I don't want to go down there like it's mine. It's hers. And when she did say, drive it, how do you think I drove it? What? I pulled out of the parking lot, barked those tires, waved at her. No. I drove it like she owned it. And so if somebody, Ryan, everything you have that your mom and dad have given you, somebody ought to come up to you if you're going to be the Heritage Christian School Patriots, that it ought to be looking like you're taking care of it for somebody else. I'm not trying to brag, but what do you think I did when I borrowed Joe's car? When I gave it back to him? Why? Because it's not mine. And so are the origin of those, and I said this, and boy, we're doing a lot of review. The origin of them was in the plan that God clarified. It is a sovereign representation. Alicia, that purse, is that what it's called, or a bag? It's a laptop bag that several animals had to die for. Several animals had to die for. Several different shades of animals had to die for that. Everything in there should be a sovereign representation of God. Because that's his purse. Laptop. He doesn't have a purse. That's his laptop bag. Do you see what I'm saying? And somebody, I think some people think, no, that's crazy. No, it isn't crazy. And there should be not an intimidation, not a fear, but an understanding, a comprehension that this is just on loan to me. And it's a sovereign representation, the origin of the principles of finance. And then it's a submissive regard. It's a submissive regard. What did the prodigal say? He said, give me my portion. And I'm thinking to myself, you little. But I'm so thankful that the Father does what he does. But it was a submissive regard. This is, I've sat down, I've seriously reconsidered this thing in financial stuff. And I was listening, who's that guy on at 4 o'clock? Chris Mabry or something like that does the financial thing at 4 o'clock on WCRF. I can't remember what his name is. And somebody called in and she got on the phone and she said, I've got this many kids and this many are in church and this many's not in church and this one's not serving God and this one's serving God. And she says, am I a good steward of my finances if I don't mention that person in my will? And I was sitting there, man, I'm going. And I'm listening to that. Watch this. It is a sovereign representation. It's a submissive regard. You are submissively regarding the person that owns those things, right? And he advised her, no, because you have just funded somebody else that's not serving God and it's going to waste it and you weren't being a good steward. And he used this illustration. Would you go into partnership in a business with somebody that didn't have Christian principles in the business? She said, of course not. Well, then why would you do that for a family member? And then the next caller called in and was talking about when we are done, Brother Colossa, and I'm not saying you're done. Brother Nicholas, I'm not saying you're done. But there ought to be a portion in it when we die, and I'm seriously regarding this in my own personal life, that ought to go back to the Lord if it's his, right? Yes, we ought to lay up for our children's children. And that's not only just finances, but we ought to have a submissive regard for the future and so on and so forth. And I'm going to tell you what, those things are sobering. And how many of us do them? But here's the thing about it. How many people die in church, been faithful members their whole life, and then leave everything to wicked children? And then we look at this one tonight, and that is the last time, the origin of them. Was in the place that God created, was in the purpose that God constructed, the plan that God clarified, and then, I'm sorry, I missed this. Then we looked at the principle, the next principle was the object of them. What's the object of our finances? A sovereign representation, a submissive regard, which picks it up to this one tonight, and I don't know how far I'll get, but it's only 8:13. The obstacles. The next one I want to look at is the obstacles of our finances. You think finances have obstacles? Here's one that just comes to mind. What's that game? Is it Charades that does things like this and you try and guess what it is? Is that the game? Can anybody figure out what this one is? Man, that money, what did it do? It burned a hole in my pocket. That's an obstacle. You ever come across money and the first thing you do is just, it just goes? How many people, I think Brother O'Malley touched on this when he was here for family conference. How many people, didn't we talk about taxes or finances or something during that? And he was talking about there are people that live for a tax return. That's your money. You gave it to the government for the whole year, and then you're looking for this windfall at the end of the year in a tax return, Brother Mark, right? And you gave them your money to invest. Didn't we do that with Social Security? How'd that work out? Do you want to know where Brother Colossa, if you were the one to invest for your 78, do what? You're 80? Man, I thought you were in your 70s. You look like you're in your 60s. If you would have been given that money for, you retired at what? 62. So you've been retired for 28 years. No, 62. That is 18 years. But you worked for 62 years and you started putting into the Social Security system in what year? Am I messing you up? How old were you, think? They didn't give you Social Security as a sharecropper, did they? Since you were 16? Could you imagine what kind of reserve you'd have today if you were the one that was allowed to be depositing your money into the Social Security system? And then now they give out what? Depending on when you retire and how much you made throughout the year, somewhere between $2,000 and $3,500 a month to survive on in this economy. And so there's obstacles. as with anything that gets us closer to God and His will for our lives, we as fallen people or people who are saved and have not followed His plan and then failed, we will have obstacles to getting back to where we are supposed to be. Now, this is a very difficult aspect because it is so far-reaching throughout Scripture. As I said, with anything, there are obstacles. If it was easy, anyone would be doing it. Everyone would be in financial a good position. I think we can all conclude that following God is not easy, but once we do, we soon find out that it makes many things or the fruit of those things easier. Let me say that again. I think we all can conclude that following God is not easy. I've talked to many people about finances, and most of the time, and that's not going to be the topic of the one tonight, but most of the time I get this response: it's almost going to be impossible for me to do that right now. It shouldn't ought to be that way. It's almost a fear. If I do that, I won't be able to figure it out. It's standing at the edge of the Red Sea. It was better for us. I mean, really, it was better for us to be in have security in Egypt with leeks and onions rather than for us to step out by faith. I didn't have anybody guide me. I was, and I said this before, Brother Baldwin, what did I say about Brother Dewey Whitfield's? God blessed my stupidity. Because as soon as I was tanking, $18,000 in credit card debt, two car payments and a house payment and everything else, and we were upside down. First thing I did, as I said, the Bible says, I'm going to tithe. How are you going to? It's amazing. When you quit drinking and you quit spending money and you quit, what was it? What's the number? It's five. If you spend $13.70 a day, do the math on this, Brother Alex, $13.70 every day, I think it comes out to close to $5,000. Go to Dunkin' Donuts, go to Starbucks. Everybody like that? Isn't that what it is? Isn't that Starbucks? Or what's Starbucks? Go to Starbucks, go to Dunkin' Donuts, go to whoever's selling those things, get your Vente whatever, get two of them for you and your buddy. You add those things up. What is it? What's 1370 times 365? Now, can you imagine if you stopped doing that? Now, when I was a missionary, I used to say things like this. I used to take statistics of dog food, statistics of cable internet, statistics of all those things, do the math, get up in there, probably made people feel like dirt. But can I say this? And I probably said it before here. There's Fufu and Fifi are getting more money than most missionaries are giving in church. It's an obstacle. Because we don't understand how that adds up. I'm sure all of my children probably did this. I don't know. But they first get married, and ladies, it's important. Gentlemen, it's important to learn how to cook. Can I just say that? Ryan, it's important to learn how to cook. Before our kids left the home, one of them was tasked every week to cook one meal that week. And all of them know how to cook, and they cook really good. Because you know what the average young couple does when they first step out? They don't have a house. They're knee-deep in credit cards. They get cars they can't afford. They buy phones they can't afford. And then they step out, and then they don't know how to buy groceries and eat. And guess what takes place? They go out to eat. And the next thing you know, they're in credit card debt because they're putting expendable items on a credit card, and that's a no-no. With 20-whatever percent. And it's an obstacle. Why? It leads us to our first point. What's the first obstacle? A lack of knowledge. If it was easy, anyone would be doing it. I think we can all conclude that following God is not easy, but once you do, we soon find out that it makes many things or the fruit of those things easier. I've said this to people before. I'm not rich by any means. I'm rich in God. But I learned principles in the Bible, applied them into my life. Nobody was guiding me. I did them ignorantly, searching for them, trying to find the answers. I got to a place of financial freedom, Brother Mark. Got to a place where I had money. I put that money in the bank. Somebody would probably disagree with that, instead of putting it in jars like the old timers did. And now guess what? I make money off the people that get credit cards. Now what we do that have money, Mark? You make money off the people to get the credit cards because the money markets right now are at a savings, a high yield savings is about what, 4.7 on average, Brother Mark? So if the bank's giving me 4.7 on every dime I put in there into that account, they're probably somewhere in the 9% lending that out at the bottom rate. So they're doubling their investment on my money. anybody that has credit scores that are terrible, then now that goes up until they could be loaning out money high risk at 13, 14, 15%. So we, watch this. Now, who do you think God would want in what position? Do you think God would want his child in the position paying that high interest rate? Or do you think God would want that person to be in the position that was making money off that high interest rate? That's Joseph. How was Joseph able to get his family back? See, there is a purpose that God constructed in finances. There's a plan, a sovereign representation. Joseph was a sovereign representation of being a good steward of God's finances, and he was able to be put in a place where he was putting silver in the grain bags or corn bags or whatever of his own family, restoring them back to God. And we can't do that. The reason the church is a non-taxable organization, what, non-profit organization? Because they believe the monies that come in should be distributed, spent in such a way to bring people to God. So the first obstacle, I could probably cover a broader spectrum of these, paint a wider stroke, but there are thousands of books out there concerning finances and stewardship. I won't say anything new, but I'm going to say something, and for me it will be things that I encountered myself, and they may help you. First, the obstacles of finances. The first one was a lack of knowledge. I'm thoroughly convinced that most people win, and I emphasize when they realize they want to fix something that is broken. What holds them back from accomplishing that is merely a lack of knowledge. I remember when I went to Rodney that night, February 26, going into the 27th, 1993. And I said to him, I said, tell me again, what is it that I need to do to be saved? I had a lack of knowledge. But what was I willing to do? I was willing to seek the truth. Can I say how many people in church many times, that's the premise behind the pulpit. It is to expound the Word of God to lead and guide people out of bondage, physical, emotional, mental, whatever it may be. The topic tonight is financial. The topic another night could be mental. A vain imagination is bringing everything into captivity. That is knowledge from the Word of God to quit being a vain imaginator and get rescued out of it. There is all kinds of those things in Scripture. And the problem is most people don't have a knowledge. What did the Ethiopian eunuch say to Philip? What must I do to be saved? Or no, what was that Philippian jailer? What must I do to be saved? And was it Paul or was it, who was it? No, it was Peter. Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Ethiopian eunuch, how can I know? Lest somebody teach me knowledge. You got to show me. And then he expounded. The two that were what? We thought it was he that was going to restore Israel. And then all of a sudden, what did the person that was walking beside him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hadn't revealed himself to them yet, what did he say? He expounded unto them what? From Moses to the prophets. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? It's knowledge. We are in bondage to knowledge. My people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. And so the unknown becomes an obstacle. I want to, but I just don't know how. I get it. I've been there in many respects. And I used the term Brother Whitfield used when he was with us. God was gracious to me in my moments of stupidity. I don't say this to solicit pity. I had no one teaching me biblical principles of stewardship and financial management. I learned from my failures and successes. Arnett Leister, Libby's Jean's mother. There's a line of Arnett's. It's Jean Arnett. Is her middle name Arnett? Jean Arnett Corley? Or Jean Arnett Wicks. Jean Arnett Leister. And then Libby is Arnett Elizabeth Leister, and her grandmother was Arnett. All that to say this, I remember, she said, Michael, you need to get in church. You need to get your life together. She'd say, we'd sit around and talk for hours on end, Libby's grandmother. She lived with her. You need to get your life right. You need to get in church, son. And I, you know, she talked to me about the Bible, but she handed me a book, Financial Freedom, I think it was by Larry Burkett. And she handed me that book, and I looked in there, and there was verses of scripture. I was in debt. I was in a mess. We were on the verge of divorce. Our life was spinning out of control. All of those things pointed me to the cross. I was seeking knowledge. Can I get out of this mess? Most people love to stay in the mess. The 15 steps to God in the Psalms. They sit on that one of what? Depression or whatever. What is it?
Despair.
And they just stay down there. Preacher talks about this stuff, but what about it? Listen, can I say I'm not the only one that can search the scriptures? Jesus said to the Pharisees who thought they had eternal life, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. He said, but they are they which testify of me. He said, you would not come to me. It's a lack of knowledge becomes an obstacle. I don't know. And then just sit in that despair for the rest of your life. However, mostly I learned from my search. Let me explain. I've encountered two things in recent days. I'll stop at this illustration and pick up where we left off. I think we've said a lot tonight. I've encountered two things in recent days. Let me give you an example, and then we'll stop, that I had absolutely no clue concerning. Two things I've encountered in recent days. One was while I was down in Florida, Jean walked up to me one evening. She had a folded up piece of paper. She had been in a room doing all different kinds of things. I believe I've gained her trust in taking care of and being a trust over her everything. And she said, Michael, I came across this, and I just don't know what it is. Could you help me with this? And I opened it up. I'd never seen them before. Maybe somebody else in here had seen them. They were almost pink in color. They were the size probably a little bit about like that, maybe like that size. And they were paper, and they had Benjamin Franklin on them, and at the top it said Treasury Bond. And they were series double E's. But Tina showed me one day that my phone does Google Pics. Pulled my camera out. I lifted that thing up and Google picked it. And that led me to several articles I read, which led me to where, which led me to the Treasury Department's website. Which led me to where to take them, which led me to an online calculator. So I could walk into a bank and look like I knew what I was doing when I handed them to them. The next thing I was invited into this week was a Zoom meeting. Zoom, when I was a young boy, was a TV show. Brother Mark, right? Right? These young people don't know nothing about that, do they? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, Mark, focus. I was invited into a Zoom meeting. Again, Alicia, forgive me. Have you Zoomed? I know you have. I know you have. Don't we know she's Zoomed, Mike? Huh? Words mean something, right, Brother Alex? I was invited into a Zoom meeting. What in the world is that? I went to Google. Now you know why Brother O'Malley, when he comes, he always says, search the Google. Google sent me to Apple Store. I downloaded the Zoom app. Followed the instructions. Looked at a YouTube video. And then I enabled it. I sent an invite for a trial. And accomplished the mission and had my first, can I say it? Zoom meeting this week. What do they call those guys that don't know how to do that stuff? Luddite. I am no longer. You can award me the certificate, Alicia, this Sunday. I am no longer a Luddite. I am a bona fide, certified member of the Zoom team. What's your point? Here's the point. You ready? I lacked the knowledge in both those areas. And you know what I did? I overcame the obstacle instead of the obstacle overcoming me. I said, I'm going to find out what this stuff is. I have disassembled and reassembled weapons on YouTube. Josh had a Mini Cooper. Do you remember his Mini Cooper? Do you remember his Facebook post? His Facebook post, we took the top half of a BMW, basically, BMW motor, apart. I was glad it was his car, not mine. Got done, he takes pictures and he said, "Me and my dad redid the top half of my motor. Dad taught me everything he knew." Every little screw he pulled out. I got my phone over here looking at YouTube. See, here's the difference. There's no mystery to this stuff. If you're in a financial situation, the scriptures have your answers. If you're in a family situation, the scriptures have your answers. Whatever the situation is you are in, we are a created being and they come with instructions. I said last illustration. This is my last illustration. I get my shirts cleaned and ironed. It's just easier when you wear shirts all the time everybody wears shirts. It's like I was saying it. You know, I'm the only one in the church that wears shirts all the time. All you other ones just wear wife beaters. I used to iron all my shirts and starch them myself because I came out of the military. But then I found, you know, you could get shirts done for 50 cents and it was a dollar. And then your shirts come with instructions. Everything we have comes with instructions. Libby took some shirts I don't normally wear, but I started wearing. And she took them down to the dry cleaners and came back with this bill. And I went, "What in the world happened? They raised the price of the shirts again." No, you know what they did? They read the instructions to the shirt and then charged me accordingly for the instructions. What's your point? There is not a situation any one of us encounter that God doesn't have the answer to get us out of it. You just have to look for the answers and overcome the obstacle. And what's the obstacle? Knowledge. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. Lord, there's probably so many obstacles each one of us have. We all have obstacles. That's why you said your mercies fail not, your compassions are new every morning, and we thank you for that. Be compassionate with us in so many situations. We're to grow as Christians. We're not to stagnate. We're pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. And so, Lord, we'd ask you in this stewardship of our finances. Lord, all we have to do is just look up the word money, silver, gold, talent, all the little words, synonyms, describing money, monetary things, value, and begin to research those in Scripture, and we will find the answers that can get us out of the situation we're in. We are a created being, and everything comes with instructions. And Lord, we thank you for the word of God, that it is as the old man in the jail, when I was in there preaching, came up to me one day and said to me, "The Bible, acrostic, basic instructions before leaving earth." And so thank you, Lord, for these basic instructions that can abound to just a bountiful supply of knowledge, not to puff us up, but to be able to help us to be a sovereign representation and have a submissive regard for the stewardship of the things that you've given us. As one of the verses for this coming week, I believe, Lord, that was shared tonight, to whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given so much. Help us tonight, Lord, to once again lay those things at the altar, whatever they may be, and you touch them and help us to search the scriptures for the knowledge we need to be able to find the victory we can have in you. We ask you all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.